its current state on 90.5 WKAR. Thanks for joining us. It's no secret that Michigan State University has a growing body of international students. There are about 4,300 Chinese students alone enrolled at MSU. It's a trend that's prompting faculty and the staff to reevaluate how they respond to the challenges of educating this growing segment. Current State's Kevin Lavery joins me with more. Kevin, I understand MSU faculty members were surveyed about their experiences relating to international students.
Yes, that's true. The MSU University Committee on Faculty Affairs surveyed more than 1,200 instructors about their experience. More than 65% said they were eager to learn more about how to better teach this population. Less than a quarter of those who responded said they were completely prepared for this type of work. Recently, MSU held a seminar on this topic, and I met with the keynote speaker, Bridget Fletcher. She's an assistant director of student services at Duke University in North Carolina. And she says when it comes to handling a large influx of Chinese students, MSU is not unique.
At Duke, we've seen the same sort of growth, and at different conferences and with different colleagues that I know from across the country, this is definitely a phenomenon that is happening across the country. So today, that number does not surprise me, but 5 years ago when we started hearing these numbers, it absolutely did.
Specifically, Chinese students, why are we seeing an influx mainly from that country alone?
I think there's a number of things at play there. First of all, I think there are so many Chinese students that are really well positioned and really competitively interested in succeeding at school. And I think there's only so many Chinese universities, and to some extent, China's not able to accommodate all of them. I think also the appeal of studying abroad and studying in the U.S., particularly for those going into business or finance, is really strong. The U.S. is ranked very high in terms of engineering, which is another very popular popular program with a lot of those students. So I think there's a lot at play here. I think the U.S. is an appealing place to a lot of these young Chinese people.
Michigan State University's University Committee on Faculty Affairs conducted a survey of professors here on campus about the types of challenges that they face when they instruct foreign students. More than 1,200 professors responded. That's about a 50% rate. That's a pretty good rate.
Yeah, I'll say.
They reported that there are definitely some benefits to bringing a global perspective and experience to their classroom, but they also said there were some challenges to language proficiency being one of them. Do we see the English language skills, verbal and written, of Chinese students improving on the whole?
Absolutely. So I think it's important to keep in mind a couple of things when it comes to language proficiency as well. So first, the context of the Chinese educational system in general and the way that it teaches English, it is very much about memorization and reproduction. So they are basically learning things, including English, in order to be assessed on it, to take tests on it, not necessarily to use it functionally. And so I think one of the biggest challenges we have is that a lot of these students are coming to the U.S. They have a lot of what they need. They have the grammar rules, they have the vocabulary, they've learned all of that, but they haven't actually been able to use English to transact daily life, to express opinions, to manage relationships, that sort of thing. And I think that becomes very overwhelming to them when they first get here. And I think sometimes that presents as a lower proficiency than is actually there. And I think what we're tasked with is trying to help suss out some of that talent that's actually there and in there, and they have the skill set, but just have not been able to use it. I was talking to my friend Ross the other day, and I think we found a great way to sort of explain this concept. If you think about what it's like when you learn how to drive, you get your driver's manual, you learn the rules, you take your test, your parents take you out on country roads and back parking lots, you know, to practice, and you feel good, you feel confident, you pass your driver's test. Imagine suddenly going from that situation to having to drive through downtown Manhattan. I think that's a little bit what the English use is like for a lot of these students, and I think that's a disconnect that we really need to be working through, and I think we're getting better at that. And so I think we're really seeing a lot of improvement in the way that students are communicating with us on campuses, because I think we're getting better at building up their confidence and helping them access what the skills they already have and they brought with them.
Are there cultural differences among international students, specifically Chinese students, that lead professors in universities to question their honesty? We are learning that plagiarism is a big problem, and that to some degree it's cultural in nature, and that the Chinese think that it's not only appropriate to plagiarize, but that it's disrespectful to not use the work of other people in that way.
Absolutely. I think that's a huge cultural underpinning that's very hard for us to understand in the U.S. And I think we can't expect that we can flip a switch on students when they get here and that, you know, maybe 1 hour of talking about academic honesty or plagiarism during orientation is not enough. And I think this is something that we, you know, in U.S. universities really need to work on and need to find ways of providing very specific examples of what this looks like here, providing very specific examples of what happens when people violate these sorts of policies, which will certainly be institutionally specific. And I think that's a real challenge for us. But I think we just can't expect that these students can just suddenly, you know, like I said, flip a switch and get it, because it's a completely different system.
So there is a very distinct cultural shock when they come to this country, and the expectation is you do your own research, you do your own work. If you have to cite someone else's work, you have to attribute, and that's mm-hmm. just simply not part of the norm there?
It's certainly not part of the norm, and I think we further confuse things by also having such a strong emphasis on collaboration and group work. And so I think it's confusing because on the one hand, you're encouraging students to work together, often requiring them to work together in some settings, and then in others forbidding it and punishing it. And so I think it's our job as faculty and administrators to make sure that we're very clear about when collaboration is okay and when it isn't.
Just to go back to this survey that MSU conducted, and again, I realize that you were not privy to the specifics
sure, sure.
of that
mm-hmm.
of that study, but yeah. only about 24% of the MSU faculty who responded said that they felt completely prepared to teach and evaluate international mm-hmm. students, but two-thirds, 66%, said that they want to learn more about this mm-hmm. process. Does that encourage you that a school like MSU is taking the steps to improve the training for faculty when they work with foreign students?
Absolutely. It is delightful to hear that information. This is an issue that goes beyond MSU, beyond Duke. I mean, I think it's something that we as a country, you know, need to manage better. And I think faculty are a huge part of that. And so I think their excitement about it and their commitment to, you know, making some changes to try to help, you know, help these students be successful here, I think is really very encouraging and something I was very excited to see.
Is there a flip side to this? Do we see a large number of American students doing more than just a study abroad for a semester or two program where they want to make a long-term commitment to going to a foreign country and assimilating as best they can?
I wish there were more of that. I think it's a great experience for people. I don't work and study abroad, so it's hard for me to say. The trending that I see doesn't necessarily suggest a big uptick in that happening. But I also think to some extent there are students who are a little bit hip to, you know, the direction the world is taking, which is internationalization. And so I think it's really beneficial for students, particularly those maybe interested in technology or supply chain or engineering or, you know, really a lot of the STEM fields in particular, to take an interest in international countries and to think about maybe doing an international rotational program shortly after graduation or spending longer than a semester, kind of a little bit more meaningful period of time in a foreign country. Because I think, you know, I think people learn a lot about themselves when they travel internationally, and I think a lot of domestic students could really benefit from that experience, and so I hope we see that rise more.
But I guess this links back to the idea that there is no international or internationally accepted sets of standards about how you conduct your studies, how you conduct your business affairs in various countries that everyone in the world accepts.
Right.
And I guess that's really the basis of why we have difficulty explaining and translating our value system to international students.
That is so true. I actually just got back from France, where we were doing some recruiting for Duke, and I was so surprised to learn just how very different the French system is. I feel like I've spent a lot of time studying China, and I guess was not hugely surprised to learn that China was so different. But in France, the educational system is different, the way people get jobs is different, everything about it. And so I think, yeah, to your point, absolutely, there's not a standard, accepted, sort of universal approach to any of this. And I think that is absolutely part of what our challenge is.
What did you hear today from some of the faculty who took the time to be here and learn more about this?
I heard some great things. There were some really good ideas. It seemed like there were faculty very interested in taking creative approaches to not only helping their Chinese students acclimate, but to keeping their domestic students really engaged too. There was one woman who mentioned a project where she was talking about the Renaissance and found that her students from China didn't necessarily have much to say about it. And so she decided that in order to get them involved, that she was going to make a timeline going around her room. And on the bottom part, she was going to fill in information about the Renaissance, kind of go by century, that sort of thing. And then on the top, she had the Chinese students come in, add their sort of history along that timeline. And that was helpful for her. It was helpful for the other students. Everybody felt involved and engaged and was participating. I made everyone give her a round of applause because I was so impressed with that idea. I think that's absolutely the kind of creative approach that we need to really integrating these students and keeping our domestic students involved as well.
Bridget Fletcher is the Assistant Director of Student Services at Duke University. Bridget, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.